T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dellinger, college football writer for Sports Illustrated. Ross, it's been a while. How you been, man?
Good. How are y'all?
All right, Ross, what's happening, brother?
How you doing, Mike?
I'm good. Ross, man, you know, when the news broke yesterday, I can't say it's surprising to me, because we've been down this road before, where I think that was a little bit of conversation between OU and Texas in the SEC in the past. I think now this is the real McCoy. And I think they're going to come to a deal that, you know, hey, we're gonna tag team this. We're going to go at it for the SEC. Hey, come on. A&M might publicly complain, but privately, how much money they put in front of me to have them join? What could this add to our, you know, our brand? I think that this, you know, okay, won't happen tomorrow. It'll be 2025, but I got a feeling this is more than a wink, wink, nod, nod, that they got something that's well down the road.
Well, there's a reason that it leaked probably when it did, because it was so far enough down the road that I think certain people probably wanted it out there.
Yes.
In order to maybe try to stop it, an attempt to try to slow it down. And it probably, most people believe it is going to slow it down, probably not stop it, but things will probably move a little slower now. But there's no doubt that this is serious. And a few weeks ago, you know, Texas and OU reached out to the SEC and basically told them, we're leaving the Big 12. Do you have room? You know, and the SEC, I don't think was looking necessarily to expand, but this is a transformative kind of time in college athletics where there are just a lot of moving pieces and a lot of change coming. And it's the time of jockeying for power, and the SEC's already got it, and it would just add to its power by adding those two name brands.
Ross, one of the things I think this is kind of already started is that kind of a pushback hard on the NCAA that, hey, listen, the power you had in the past for football is not going to be there in the future. I think you saw it when the presidents of the conferences said, this four-team situation to come playoff time is not going to happen. We're going to 12. And now with Oklahoma and Texas basically kind of putting it out there, we're leaving. And, hey, good luck for everybody else in the Big 12, but we're out of here. I think somewhere down the road, and I think sometime in my lifetime, we're going to see where there is no governing body, so to speak, in the NCAA, someone to go to. I think that these football conferences are going to take full control of football. Now, it might not be like that in every sport, but you see a hard pushback for the NCAA.
Yeah, what's really happened is the NCAA really has become irrelevant.
Yep.
And part of it is its own fault, and part of it is the changing society, how society has changed in its view of amateurism, you know. And Supreme Court case was kind of the final straw, a 9-0 loss. You know, you don't see the Supreme Court rule 9-0 very often.
Hardly ever.
Because it did, that's a strong message to, hey, guess what? You know, amateurism is not a thing. Your business is not working. It's violating laws. And so basically, you have to disband. And the NCAA is going to, you know, decentralize. And all the conferences will have the power. And the conference commissioners, probably led by people like Greg Sankey, will have more authority and autonomy powers to, as you mentioned, Mike, you know, there's a lot of ways you can go with it. You could split off football in general and have a separate football governance and keep everything else under the NCAA umbrella, the Power Five or some kind of big super division or super conference can split off by itself, take all of the sports with it. There's a lot of ways this can go, but it's going somewhere. It's the status quo is no more.
Ross Dellinger, college football writer, for Sports Illustrated. Ross, Max or Miles, who do you think wins that quarterbacking job at LSU?
Oh, man, now we're getting granular now. Wow. We just went from NCAA restructuring to the quarterback battle at LSU.
And neither one of them have taken a snap in the summer yet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have no idea. I really don't. You know, I spoke to some people with LSU at Media Days in Hoover a few days ago, and, man, it sounds like it's going to be a really good battle because you've got a guy in Max who, man, as a freshman, showed incredible poise, accuracy, touch on the ball. I mean, the kid apparently is working nonstop this summer, I've heard, with receivers. And everybody's just kind of really impressed, especially how young he is. And then you got Miles, who, goodness, I mean, put up incredibly prolific numbers last year, has been around for a while, knows the game, knows the staff, knows the offense. So it sounds like it's going to be certainly one to watch. Here's my question is, whoever doesn't get it, what do they do? Because now you can transfer immediately, but if in play, you know, but you've got to – somebody has to know before a certain date probably if they're going to transfer and then play immediately. So and that's not just an LSU thing. That's kind of everywhere with these big quarterback battles. You know, do the coaches decide earlier so that the backup could transfer, or do the coaches decide really late to prevent the backup from transferring out of fear that the starter might get hurt and you need somebody? So it's kind of fascinating what the transfer situation has done with camp battles like this.
I'm betting late, Ross.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm betting late.
That bet, Mike.
I think I'd cash in pretty good on that. Ross, one of the things, too, is, man, because you've covered LSU for a long time, man, it makes me shake my head. I hear people, you know, when you talk about the battle with Max and Miles, and no matter who you pick, oh, my God, man, I hate to be in this situation. And I'm like, wait a minute. For years, this was a sinkhole spot for LSU at quarterback. Uh-huh. Now you're going to complain you got too much talent? Come on. Man, that's like, okay, if you won a $40 million Powerball and complaining that somebody 3 weeks before won $100 million. That makes absolutely no sense. Joe Burrow changed the world for LSU at quarterback. And now you're seeing all these guys wanting to come in here. Nussmeier's already here. Howard's coming in the following year. My thing is, man, I would much rather have too much talent, and I'm going to lose some, just like what happened to TJ, but I'd much rather be in that spot than not have it.
For sure, and I can go back and remember the days of being a beat writer at LSU, and I think it was going into the 2015 season, there was another big raging camp battle between Anthony Jennings and Brandon Harris.
Yeah.
And I think that LSU fans would take this camp battle over that one. And that should tell you how much LSU has progressed in recruiting the quarterback position and in just the quarterback talent and just the offensive evolution in football, that they have two guys now and maybe three.
Maybe three.
I've heard this new kid is pretty dang talented.
He's different.
So he's
different than the other two. He's right. Different.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, no. Hey, you know what they say about LSU fans and fans in general of college football, man, you know, you win the national championship and they complain about you didn't win by enough. You know, that's usually the thing.
Ross Dellinger, college football writer, Sports Illustrated. Ross, when you look around college football, is there a team that you look at and say, hey, this team could surprise some folks?
It's funny, man. As we get closer to the season, I'm being asked more football questions like these, and I'm like, dang, I'm realizing I'm way behind on getting caught up on the actual on-the-field stuff. I've been spending too much time on all these issues. I've turned into a sports business writer. It's just
you didn't know that college, you also had to major as a lawyer, business
major. That's right, I know.
Come on.
I know.
Yeah, they told it to you a little too late in the game.
Well, it's funny when you're just talking about Texas and Oklahoma, and I wonder what Sark's first year at Texas is going to look like. I'm kind of fascinated in that. I really am. And I'm not saying they'll surprise some people, and it's hard for Texas to surprise anybody. I'm interested in that, and, in the SEC, Missouri is a team that interests me. Now, I think that they could surprise some people.
Ross, one of the things, too, is, and I remember we talking about it, was the recruitment of Arch Manning and how that has grown since you did the interview. It was well over a year ago. And how that has just come around and how well he's handled it. Because, you're talking about put yourself as a 16-year-old and in that spot. And you can have people tell you, handle it like this, handle it like that. He's done a fabulous job of it. But that, to me, is as it gets farther along, I think we're gonna really see here where the cutting gets involved. And I think that team out in South Carolina named Clemson is going to make some major play on Mr. Arch Manning.
Yeah, I went down there to do a magazine story on Arch about a year and a half ago. Watched a lot of his games. I think he was then a freshman, and I was just blown away. Now, they wouldn't let me talk to him because they were, at the time, it was a no media, and that was what the story was about,
right?
How the family was handling it, and it was in kind of an honorable, refreshing way that they were handling his early recruitment. They weren't accepting offers, they weren't talking to media, and it was fascinating, and I feel like I can say it now. For that story, although the Manning family didn't talk to me, they did talk to me. They just didn't talk to me on the record. So I talked to Archie a ton for that story, and he was incredible. And I think that's where, Arch gets a lot of his personality and things you're talking about is having a great family. I mean, that's one of the best football families there is. And they were actually extremely helpful and understanding with me for that story. And I think you said it, right? Clemson coming on strong. Texas, it sounds like,
yep,
coming on strong. LSU's going to have a tough chore keeping him in the state.
Yeah, I do. I keep telling people that. I get some curse words told to me. But I'm just telling you a little bit of reality there. Ross, one of the things, too, is bottom line, I think no matter what consternation and maybe sort of negativity goes, I think bottom line, come 2025, Oklahoma, Texas are in the SEC. I can't see anything that would stumble that along the way. They want to be involved in something big if they leave. The Pac-12 had an opportunity years ago to grab them, and that didn't work out. I think now, with Oklahoma and Texas both kind of tag-teaming, that we're out of here. The SEC and them are a marriage made in heaven from a financial standpoint, especially. And that's where these young athletic directors and presidents of schools, they are finding out that you got to scratch where it itch. And dead presidents printed on paper makes a difference.
Yep. That's right. It's all about the money. A lot of it is about the money. I mean, these TV contracts are coming up in the Big Ten, coming up in the Big 12, Pac-12. All these contracts are coming up, and the SEC just set the market by signing theirs, which is close to $500 million, I believe, in a TV deal. And all these conferences want that. And if they can't get it in their conference, they'll just, I guess, come to the SEC. And that seems to be what Texas and Oklahoma are doing.
Ross Dellinger, college football writer for Sports Illustrated. Thanks so much for the time, Ross.
All right, guys. See
you. Thank you, Ross. Appreciate it.
More and more pushback against the vaccination rule that is now in the NFL, that if there's an outbreak from a unvaccinated player, the team could forfeit the game and potentially a playoff spot. I'll read some of those that are coming, those players that are coming out against this rule. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.